is draft week, a big week for the Arizona Cardinals, and here to talk NFL draft and the rest of the league with us from Pro Football Talk, writer, author, Mike Florio joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Mike, thanks for joining us. I know you're busy, so we appreciate it.
Hey guys, how are you today?
Hey,
Mike.
We're
doing good. Tomorrow's a big day for you because the new book, Father of Mine, which we talked to you about last time, non-football book that you've written, but it goes on sale tomorrow. Big day.
Yeah, and you can actually order the paperback now and have it by Wednesday. That fell together pretty quickly. The ebook lands tomorrow. $4.99 for the ebook. Kept it as cheap as I could. Paperback's $14.99, which is actually selling faster than I thought it would because it's $14.99. But so be it. Maybe I should have charged more for the ebook. But I just want to get it out there, let people read it, let people hopefully enjoy it. I was just writing something about it now. You know, I've read plenty of books in my life where I found myself halfway through and I'm like, why the hell am I reading this? And it really is on the author to keep the reader engaged and to get the reader to go from one page to the next and one chapter to the next. It's just part of the craft. You have to keep people interested because I hate that feeling of being stuck in the middle of a book that I just don't like.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. I agree with you on that. All right,
well, best of luck with that.
Lot we want to talk to you about. Let's start here with the NFL draft on Thursday. Is it really going to be not a run on quarterbacks? We're looking at the Cardinals, obviously, with the third pick in the draft. And in other years, it might be a great chance to regenerate your young talent and trade down and get the bounty of picks. What do you think's going to happen on Thursday?
Well, I think the opportunity still will be there to trade down. The question is, at what point is the new regime comfortable saying yes to whatever offers they may have to trade up? Seems like teams always want to trade down, but when it's time for offers to come in on trading up, they're not as good as expected. And if it goes quarterback one and quarterback two, and right now Will Levis of Kentucky is the betting favorite to be the second overall pick in the draft of the Houston Texans, which is kind of a surprise, but I trust the information that the sports books have because they have a strong incentive to get things right. But if that's the case, the Cardinals basically have the first pick in the draft for anybody who's not looking for a quarterback. So it's a valuable spot for them. It means they're going to get their number one guy, or they're going to trade to someone else who's thinking, hey, you know what? We really like Jalen Carter. We really like Will Anderson. We really like Tyree Wilson. We want to go up to de facto number one. And it comes down to how much the Cardinals get offered. But I'm a firm believer, guys, in maximizing your lottery tickets, because that's what the draft is. It's a series of lottery tickets. And the more tickets you get, the more you scratch off. The more you scratch off, the greater chance you're going to find winners. So I'm always a proponent. Unless there's somebody that you think is generational that you just have to have, I'm always a proponent in trading down and getting more picks.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. It happens every year that the over-analysis of the quarterback class, for good reason. It's the most important position in the draft, and there's so many teams that are quarterback needy, Mike, as you know. But what are your overall thoughts of this year? I think it's a weird quarterback class, honestly, because I don't think there's a sure thing, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, it all comes down to the framing, because one of the realities of covering the draft, and I've been doing this long enough now that the patterns emerge, there's just a baked-in positivity. And I don't know whether it's people don't want to be wrong about saying that this guy's not going to be any good and he ends up being great. I just think we don't know. And if we don't know, we are on the side of pointing out the reasons why the guy's in the conversation to be one of the top picks. And then there are a bunch of different factors that go into what happens. What is his supporting cast? What kind of coaching staff is there? How committed is ownership to doing what needs to be done to get the most out of the player? We just don't know. And, you know, you can go back in time and you can say, wow, if this player went there instead of there, how much different would things have been, good, bad, or otherwise? So I think that's a big factor in all of this. Now, Bryce Young defies the norms. He defies the prototype at under 6 feet and under 200 pounds, and there's a risk in that one. But I think in Carolina, ownership is committed to finding a superstar quarterback, and they're willing to take the risk that it's not going to work out. And that's what it comes down with all these guys. How much risk are you willing to tolerate? Do you want a high floor, or do you want to go for a high ceiling? Uh-huh. If you're concerned about a low floor, you stay away from Anthony Richardson. But if you want to get a high ceiling and a potential superstar, you maybe roll the dice. And there's definitely a thought percolating that the Seahawks are thinking about Richardson at number 5. Why? Because they have their bird in the hand in Geno Smith. And if they can end up getting themselves a shortlist franchise quarterback in Anthony Richardson, maybe it's worth rolling the dice and taking the chance. So it comes down to where the teams are from the standpoint of whether they're looking for that high floor, whether they're willing to reach for that brass ring of the high ceiling. And then once you get the guy, it's on you to develop him and when to decide, most importantly, to put him on the field.
All right, late last week, Terry McDonough resurfaced and he said he's not going away. He predicted the end of Michael Bidwell. We still don't have any real concrete anything on this story, but I'm curious, from your experience with the league, where do you think the NFL is going to go with some of these allegations that have been levied?
Nowhere. Unless there's a critical mass of former employees or current employees who stand up and join in the chorus that Terry McDonough is trying to start, I don't think the NFL is going to do anything. And it could be that the fact that he's saying these things that he was saying last week is a manifestation of his belief that it's not getting enough momentum to spark an independent investigation. I think that's what every owner is trying to avoid. And that's why some owners are reluctant to push out Daniel Snyder. They don't want it to be easy for disgruntled former employees to start a groundswell that results in basically an IRS audit of your franchise, where an investigator comes in and starts looking for things. And sometimes when somebody is hired to go look for things, what happens? They find things, maybe things other than why they're there in the first place. So if I was advising Terry McDonough, frankly, I would have told him not to say the things he said last week. I just get the impression he's feeling frustrated that not enough is happening and that not enough other voices are standing up and agreeing with him publicly in the things he has to say about Michael Bidwell. But remember, this whole process goes before the league office. The league controls it, in-house arbitration. It's going to take a lot, I think, to trigger the kind of process that would create a real problem for Michael Bidwell.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Kyler Murray gets his statue at the University of Oklahoma over the weekend, which they do for all their Heisman winners, and a big contingent of Cardinals go, including the head coach, the general manager, Monty Austenfort. And I know you wrote a small piece on it on Pro Football Talk, Mike, suggesting maybe some criticism for the timing of it with the draft coming up. But don't you think if they don't show up with the way the previous regime handled their Kyler Murray relationship, they would be ripe for criticism if they didn't show up too?
Well, but who's going to criticize them if they don't go? The question is, what's the relationship with Kyler Murray? And do you have a conversation with Kyler Murray along the lines of, we want to support you as much as we can, and the way we're going to do that is we're going to spend every waking moment we have in the run-up to the draft, making sure we get the best possible players on the field that can be developed around you for your coming years as a member of the team. I've talked to people around the league about this, and maybe it's generational. Maybe I'm just talking to the older guard, but some people I talked to were happy that this happened because it's all one big competition. And the people who were locked in all weekend long, looking at fifth round, sixth round, seventh round prospects, studying film after film after film, they just kind of smile and nod when they hear something like this, because it's all about the commitment you're willing to put in. It's all about how much of your personal life you're going to turn over to it. And there are certain things that are non-negotiable. You know, if a family member dies and you need to show support and respect, that's one thing. But for something like this, I think it would have been very easy for Monty Austenfort and Jonathan Gannon to explain to Kyler Murray why they can't personally be there 5 days before the draft. And, there isn't going to be a bright line that anyone's going to draw to this, but it's just a question of the mindset. It's a question of the obsession. And it can be an unhealthy obsession, but you know what? A lot of guys with unhealthy obsessions end up holding Super Bowl trophies.
Isn't that the truth?
Mike Florio's new book, Father of Mine, out tomorrow. $4.99 for the ebook. The paperback, you can have it in your hands by Wednesday. It comes out tomorrow. Mike, best of luck with the book. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.